I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Christopher Prosperi, senior contributor of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Faith.
And you can tell your friends no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. Later in the show, we're going to tell you how to make brown butter bourbon. You can make this yourself at home, how to make a cocktail out of this. We're going to tell you about a paleo lasagna that is noodle-free. It is carbohydrate-free, essentially. It is all vegetables and ground pork and ground beef and garlic and onions and fresh tomato sauce. It is so delicious, and they're making it at a place, a takeout place in Connecticut. We're going to tell you, we're going to get the guy on the line. He's going to tell us how he does it. Okay, so all that coming your way. But here is the big thing for me. Here is the best thing. Here she is, one of my favorite people and such a creative force in Italian cooking. I love her teaching on television. I adore her books. The new one to accompany the TV series is Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. 150 delicious and simple recipes anyone can master. It's co-produced by Tanya Bastianich-Manwali. So this past year, Lydia came to Connecticut to do a Food Schmooze signature event dinner with me at Millwright. And thank you, Lydia, for doing that, for supporting the show and WNPR. And welcome back.
Thank you, Faith. What a welcome.
Oh.
Glad to be back.
I know. It's really always just so fun to talk with you. And I learn so much every time. And then there's the cooking of the recipes, which we just did. And it was fantastic. I want to say, Lydia, how much I appreciate, before we get into these recipes, how much I appreciate the way you are aiming these at the home cook, because so many chefs will do these cookbooks, and I'm so frustrated because they take 2 hours and they call. I want the last one asked for a rabbit stock from me. So we just made, and we put this online, we just made your Prosecco salmon. This is a salmon with Prosecco sauce, and we're going to get to that. But it's up there right now at foodschmooze.org. It is so delicious. It is so easy. And we just sat around and ate it just before we started our conversation with you. So let's begin with, we'll do as you do in the book. Here's a salad. You think, I serve the same kind of salad over and over again. What can I do? And you recommend a fennel and gorgonzola salad. What a combination.
Yeah, you know, it's fennel. Is also sort of a winter vegetable into spring and all over summer. So it's a great vegetable to have. People don't know maybe what to do with it, but it is crunchy, it's refreshing, it has a kind of licorice finish that clears your palate, it helps the digestion. And then just toss it, a little bit of olive oil, vinegar, a gorgonzola to give it that complexity, and you've got the crunch, you've got the flavor, you've got it, and it's easy to make.
Right, and let me just say, I mean, I just want to be open about this. It has some heavy cream in it, it has some buttermilk in it, you know, and you need that buttermilk and white wine vinegar for the tang, yes?
Yes, I think, you know, that's the complexity. But also, you know, I mean, this book is a common sense book. And what I really stress is the fact that, you know, the home cook should feel free to make amendments. So if they do not like the heavy cream or they're watching, don't put it in. Put skim milk in there. You know, find alternatives. And it'll be good. It won't be maybe as rich, but it'll be good.
So this is kind of a riff on the American old school iceberg lettuce with blue cheese dressing, in other words. And a gorgeous riff it is. Okay, I'm jumping into soups because I love a Bloody Mary, for instance, that has chopped clams in it. And I right away see your tomato and clam soup, and I was right on that so fast.
That's like a take on the papal pomodoro, which is an old Tuscan soup. In the summer, when you have a lot of ripe tomatoes left over or whatever, you don't know what to do, or even canned tomatoes, you make a soup, very simple, little onions. At the end, you put some stale bread in there, so that kind of denses it up and cooks it up, and that's your basis. And then, of course, adding clams to that. And, you know, I must say that for me, what it is, it's that, you know, combining maybe very American the clam chowder and papal pomodoro put in a somewhat together without all the creams of a clam chowder. It's kind of a tomato clam chowder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how delicious is that? I cannot wait to make this one. Here was something that caught me by surprise. And what I love about this is that this could be gluten-free because of what's going on in the gluten-free world with beer. We're seeing some really great. There's one from Spain, a gluten-free beer. So this is potatoes baked in beer. And normally someone who is sensitive to gluten would say, oh, that's not a recipe for me. But, you can use. So we have unsalted butter, pancetta that's cut into cubes, russet potatoes, yep, kosher salt, onions sliced, a cup of beer, and a cup of heavy cream.
You grease the pan, you put them in, and it sort of really cooks. And it's almost like a main course, you know. I mean, if you serve a slice of prosciutto with this or even a poached egg on top or whatever, you got yourself a meal. But it's great when you have company. You put it in the oven. It's something different. And it's delicious. I'm glad you chose it.
Here we are with the great Lydia Bastianich. Her new book is Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. And it is terrific because it is aimed at those of us who are home cooks. And we are just about to get to the recipe that we have posted. It's up there right now at our website, foodschmooze.org. And the recipe I'm talking about is the salmon with a Prosecco sauce. And it's basically a stovetop dish. Here we are, though, before we get to it, gluttonous tomatoes, pomodori giotti. And I thought, what is this? What is this? And then I read it and I thought, oh, my God, this is great.
It's one of those recipes. It's perfect for brunch, for lunch. And again, once you prepare it, so you take nice tomatoes, firm, not too big, enough for a portion. You kind of scoop everything out. You save the pulp, get rid of the seeds, save the juice. And then in it, you take some, again, bread, leftover bread, cubes, toast them, flavor them. And then you stuff this tomato with the bread, the savored bread, some cheese, oregano, and then you just crack an egg in the middle. Don't overstuff the tomato with the bread. You crack a whole egg right in the middle of the bread and the tomatoes. You put it back in the oven.
Oh, my God.
So you have everything. It's a complete, you know, the bread, the vegetables, the egg, a great brunch dish. And you can make it in advance. Room temperature, served room temperature is perfect.
That sounds wonderful.
Is that the best thing?
I think easy.
It's genius. Mm. It's absolutely. Now, did you make that up, or is this something they really do in Italy? In what region is this from?
It's all over Italy, but also the Lydia region. I do kind of pull things together, you know.
The Lydia region.
I stay very true to the Italian culture. You know, I'm not, and I think you cited it in the opening. I am not a chef that invent things, create things in a sense. I follow the tradition, I modify it, and I try to really communicate it to the cook at home, because that's where food really should be cooked. So it's not about me an inventive, a great chef. It's about me being a communicative chef, understanding both cultures. And so in this case, you know, stuffed tomatoes, they stuff them with rice, we stuff them with pork, with meat, with tomato stuffed, vegetable stuffed in any way. This idea of kind of having a little bread, I said, you know, I like my tomatoes with some eggs, poached, some bread. I said, let me make it all together. So it's a combination. It's based on the Italian culinary repertoire with my touches.
Yeah, good. That's what we want is your touches. That reminded me, of course, about stuffed peppers, which I love, depending on what they're stuffed with. And because sometimes they can be kind of bland. People don't have enough fun with what's inside the stuffed pepper for me. So I turn the page and there you are. You've done it for me. Savory stuffed peppers. You've got a really great Mediterranean twist on this. And you can use red, yellow, or orange bell peppers. And what do you do for the inside of the pepper?
Well, inside, it's a little bit of a bread, and again, all bread, which you soak in milk, and then you kind of mix it with a little bit of anchovies, a little bit of the plum tomatoes, chopped gaeta olives, capers, scallions, and then an egg sort of to bind it all up, put some grana padano in, and chop parsley, and then you have this kind of stuffing. Now, this stuffing is good for any vegetables. You know, you have an eggplant, you want to stuff it, this is a great stuffing. But here in the peppers, where in the summer you kind of make little boats of peppers, those big, nice, meaty peppers, and you put the stuffing in, not overly stuffed, and you bake it in. The peppers sort of bake to a soft sweetness, and you have the inside this flavor stuffing. And again, it's a complete meal, you know. That maybe with a slice of prosciutto, again, you have a summer meal.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, Lydia, can I, if you mentioned these olives and capers to me, right away I want my melted anchovy in there. Would you mind if I put some anchovy in there?
Absolutely. Anchovies. Now, you see, you can go then. This is kind of vegetarian, but you could go with chopped prosciutto, chopped ham. You see how you can build.
Yeah.
And again, I can't stress enough how I extend this power to the cooks at home, that it is perfectly fine to modify my recipes and to do something that they like. Now, you can put in that chunks of salmon. Are you talking about salmon? Can you see that you have a little salmon left over or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have the little pieces of the belly flap or whatever. Chop them up, put them in the stuffing and bake them, and you have more proteins in there.
So, yeah. Full dinner.
Yeah, anchovies, absolutely.
This is what we call, you know, cooking out of the pantry, cooking out of the refrigerator. Just fool around with the flavors you like. This is what is so great about Lydia Bastianich, who's telling us how it is done in Italy, but also simplifying this for us, because in Italy, unlike in some other countries, you don't need 50,000 ingredients. You just need a few good things, and it makes all the difference. And this tells us how something simple can be savored and magical in the mouth. So Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. Lydia Masticcio Bastianich is our guest. You see her on TV. I'm a total committed, diehard fan of her as a person and in her cookbooks, too. Finally, I know I've been making you wait, but here it is. This is what we just made. Well, I should say, we asked Chris to make this. This is the simplest thing, right, Chris? This was salmon fillets with Prosecco. So I'll say the ingredients, and then, Chris, you tell us what you did. Skinless salmon fillets, four, because this serves four, some kosher salt, a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, some unsalted butter, some scallions that are chopped. Chopped, here's a little secret, chopped cornichon. So pickle, two cups of Prosecco wine and some fresh Italian parsley chopped up too. How easy did this come?
So oil goes in the pan, sear the salmon, and you cook it, you know, on both sides a couple of minutes. And like she says in the recipe, you don't have to worry about cooking the salmon all the way through, because after we make this sauce kind of thing, we're going to put the salmon back in. So you take the salmon out, you take some of the oil out, and then in the pan goes a little bit of the butter and the scallions and the cornichons, which are the little pickles. And, you know, there's not
2 minutes, right?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Until wilted.
Until wilted. And then goes in the Prosecco. It's about 2 cups.
You bring it to a boil, and then it reduces, right?
By half.
In five minutes.
So down to about a cup. And then you take the remaining butter and some parsley and just sort of swirl it in. The salmon goes back in, finishes cooking. And it's heaven. And, you know, there's not too many recipes I come across nowadays where I go, why would you do that? And as I was making it, the whole time I'm like, I never would put pickles with salmon. I'd never
put – It was so good.
Heavenly. It was
heavenly. So good. Yeah. It made it so interesting.
So how?
Lydia,
where did it come from?
Yeah, what is this?
Well, again, it's a little bit of the Lydia region, but it's, you know, when especially with salmon, it's a fish that has a certain amount of fat, so acidity is always good. So the Prosecco has that little acidity and flavor, and then the cornichons add the acidity, but also that crunch. You know, when you cook, you have to think about, you know, it has to look good, it has to smell good, it has to taste good, and a nice kind of mouth feel also. So I work on all of those aspects, and they're easy to achieve. And you know that all of these ingredients, most likely, you have at home. You know, maybe the scallions is a great, great vegetable. It's available year-round. It's not expensive. Not enough people use it. So I use it a lot.
Agreed.
In my recipes. And, of course, Prosecco, you know. You have a little dinner. You open Prosecco to a little toast. The two of you. There's a little bit left for the salmon.
Yeah. Well, I think we need, what we need is a new flag. Oh, no, we need a new map. We need a new map, and it should say Italidia.
Italidia.
Because you have the your Lydia own region, separate region of cooking that is just spectacular. And I would advise the rest of Italy to get with the program. Okay, Lydia, stay where you are. We want to do our next segment with you two. Later on in the show, we'll get to the brown butter bourbon and the paleo lasagna that is noodle-free. I'm Faith Middleton. Lydia's coming right back. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on The Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
I eat Aunt the pasta twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina, waitress at the pizzeria. I keep soup and minestrone just to be with her alone, Angelina. Angelina, the waitress at the pizzeria.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'll be ready.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m. and Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, producer Jonathan McNichol, and our station's content director is Jim Cutie. We thank you first and foremost for listening. And what a treat it is on this Food Schmooze edition, because Lydia Bastianich is our guest. We had some months ago, we had a Food Schmooze signature event that I hosted in Simsbury, Connecticut, and Lydia came down, and we had the best time together. That meal was from her cookbook. It was so beautiful, and we thank her for joining us again. So, Lydia, let me go over this as we get to your next recipe, because I know, because we have this posted at the website right now, the salmon fillet with Prosecco sauce, all done on the stovetop, and I mean 10 minutes. It is skinless salmon fillets, kosher salt, extra virgin olive oil, unsalted butter, some chopped scallions, some chopped cornichons, the little pickles in a jar, a couple cups of Prosecco. You must have that lying around somewhere. And some chopped fresh parsley. I mean, throw it in the basket on the way home, and this is even a weeknight meal. Or you could do on the weekend and look very fancy, even though it's not much work. So a little salt on the salmon, put some olive oil in the pan, put the salmon in, sear it a couple minutes on each side, and then take it out and put it on a plate. Wipe out your pan, and then put the butter in the pan. Add your chopped scallions and your chopped cornichon, the pickles. It takes about 2 minutes to cook those, and then you pour in the Prosecco, a couple cups. You bring that to a boil, and then it's reduced by half in about 5 minutes, and that cooks off the alcohol flavor. You add a little bit more salt. You put that salmon off the plate back into the sauce and simmer it for about 3 minutes in that beautiful Prosecco sauce. Add just a little bit more butter back in the pan and your chopped parsley. Ready to go. Just serve it up, and
almost
there you
too
go.
Easy.
Is that great? That's at our website right now, foodschmooze.org. Let's get off fish, Lydia, and go to your chicken breast with orange and gaita olives. Love that together.
Love those olives.
That's a great recipe. It's intense in flavor. It's all about Sicily. All those ingredients. Gaeta is near Naples, but, you know, good, intense olives, the onions, a little bit of orange, you know, that refreshness, and a little bit of the fennel powder. Now, you know, the element here that might be questioned is the fennel powder.
Yeah.
But it's so easy. You get the fennel seeds, you put it in a little coffee grinder or a spice grinder, and you got yourself fennel powder. And it's great when it's freshly made, and it really kind of brings a lot of complexity to this dish. And again, it's one pan, one after the other, the ingredients, and you've got a great meal.
Sounds
and
wonderful.
Making that fennel seed into powder releases a lot of that flavor, doesn't it?
Yeah. The fennel powder really is I sometimes, you know, and I think people are more resilient to having the actual seed because kind of bite it, you don't like it. But the powder is kind of brings all the aroma and all of that. And you don't even know that, of course, the seed, there is no seed. You just get that freshness, that a little bit of licorice, a tinge of licorice flavor.
Well, you gave me the greatest idea with this recipe. Not only is this a great one by itself, but I make a burger, a pork burger, and I usually mix in toasted fennel seeds and sometimes on the outside too. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm gonna make a powder and dip this burger in some flour before I fry it up.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, just to see what that's like, if it's even more fragrant with fennel, with that licorice.
Absolutely.
Oh, is that good?
You know, Faith, that's a great idea. Also, I do the same with dried porcini, you know?
Oh.
You take the dried porcini, you put them in the coffee grinder, whatever, you got porcini powder. So then that becomes a great rub. The porcini powder, the fennel powder, you add a little bit of salt and a little bit of sugar, and you rub your steaks with it or you rub your chicken with it. And you have a zillion of different ways of cooking simple things with a lot of flavor.
And without the calories, people at this time of year worried about that.
Yeah.
And so do you mix it with oil when you rub it on your chicken, or do you just put it dry?
You can have a dry rub, which is the powder of fennel or porcini. To that, you add a little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt, and even a little fresh pepper. And you can do it dry. So you dry, you rub your chicken with that, and you let it sort of get in. So once it's a dry rub, it's going to be wet in a while because the chicken is going to absorb it in, and then you can grill. So will the steak. But you could make a wet also kind of rub out of this by adding a little bit to the all dry ingredients. You add a little bit of oil, and it becomes like a paste, and then you rub the paste on. So, you know, it's endless what you can do in the kitchen.
You are the best.
Especially from the Lydia region
of
Italy.
Yeah. Lididily.
Yes, Lididily.
How do we say it? Lididily.
A new movement here.
Yes.
Okay, Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. We just did chicken breast with orange and gaeta olives, and I'm someone who adores Cornish hens, but I don't make them often enough because I simply don't think about it. And it's a shame because I think they actually have more flavor than the chicken breasts that I buy. So I loved that you have the spicy butterflied Cornish hens. Now, that sounds fancy to butterfly something, but tell us what you mean.
Well, butterfly is just open it up. You know, you can take scissors or whatever. You cut on the back, the backbone of the hen, you cut it right up. You can leave that thing, or you can cut it on the other side and remove the kind of spinal cord altogether, and you just press it open. And you press it down a little bit in the breastbone, and you got yourself a butterfly, a Cornish hen.
So it looks like a book.
Simple as that.
Yeah, with legs.
Open book.
Okay. Okay. So
exactly.
In this recipe, we have six Cornish hens because we have six guests, a little bit of salt, some olive oil, hot cherry peppers that you half and seed with a little of the brine from the jar, some garlic cloves, some bay leaves, rosemary sprigs, and some white wine. And how does this come together? So good.
It's so fresh. It's so easy to make. Rosemary is very good with chicken, the garlic cloves. I love pickled hot cherry peppers, you know, half unseeded. Those bring acidity and a kind of a little punch.
Oh, I love them.
To whatever, especially to chicken. And then, you know, again, this is over on top of the stove in a cast iron skillet, nice and hot. Put the skin down. And, you know, if you have sick, let's say if you do two or three, you can do them individually, and then you finish them in the oven. You get a crisp kind of skin. You make the skin crisp in the pan on top of the stove, and then you put them all in a roasting pan, and you can finish them in the oven. Absolutely.
Oh my God, you're making us hungry.
If you're going to do six, you know, because once you have them, kind of butterflied and all of that, you put a little bit of wine and all of those other goodies, and you put it in the oven. In 30 minutes, you got six Cornish hen. You feed six people abundantly.
And leftovers.
Yeah. And is it okay to buy them frozen, Lydia, do you think, if you can't get them?
You know, I think frozen food now more than ever is fine. You know, because now there's a cautiousness on freezing, flash freezing, immediate freezing, so retaining a lot of the nourishments, like even the vegetables, you know, this kind of flash freezing is good. Even the meat, the red meat, which, you know, if you freeze it regularly, what happens to meat, you know, in each cell, the water, if you regularly freeze it, slow freezing, the water turns into ice and it grows and it perforates the cell and hence the juices flow out. So when you defrost it, you got all those, the puddle of juices. That's what you don't want. But now with this kind of flash freezing, so let's make sure, even if you're doing it at home, that you do this flash freezing, deep freezing in a short time so that the water in each cell doesn't have a chance to evolve into ice and grow, and so hence the cells remain whole and the juice remains in the meat.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing, the technology.
That's something. This spicy butterfly Cornish hen with the chopped cherry peppers and the garlic and the olive oil and the rosemary sprig, and this is like the ultimate chicken under a brick. You know, it's like gone to the max. You know,
Give me those potatoes on the side that you did earlier, that's dinner.
All right. And I thought, you know what? You know what is missing from this arsenal we've been talking about from Lydia Bastianich's new book, and she is our guest, Lydia. Is common sense Italian cooking. These are not recipes that will cost you a fortune. These are not recipes that will take you all day to make. They're so easy and so often one pan, one bowl, you know, kind of a thing. So I thought, you know what's missing? The dinner is for a special reason. And that would be for many people or a weekend special time. Filet mignon, Italian style with a balsamic reduction. So this is Lydia's version of filet mignon. It involves balsamic vinegar, and you can get just the commercial kind. Carrots, celery stalks, onion, bay leaves, rosemary sprigs again, that beef tenderloin, some kosher salt, extra virgin olive oil. And okay, let's go at it. What are we going to do?
So, you know, the filet mignon, a great piece of meat, doesn't need a lot of work. And you sear that in a cast iron pan. You can sort of finish it cooking even on top of the oven, but you can sear it first and finish it in the oven itself on top of the stove. But what's good about here is the sauce. So you have a nice, perfectly seared, flavored, of course, seasoned the filet mignon, and then you can slice it in portions or whatever you like. But, you know, you have your flavors already in the actual reduction of balsamic. So balsamic vinegar, the real traditional, is very expensive and you don't want to cook it. But the commerciale is perfectly fine to cook. You add some celery, you add some bay leaves, rosemary, and some carrots, and you can even add a little bit of honey in there. And you put that on top of the stove in a pan and just let it simmer away until it gets into about half of the volume and all the vegetables and spices have released their flavor. You strain it, and it should stick to a spoon when you dip the spoon, and then you know it's right. So here you have your sauce ready. You drain it. You can even make it a day before. It kind of coagulates a little bit. It becomes thicker if you leave it the day before, especially if you put it in the refrigerator. You have to kind of revive it again.
Syrup.
But it is done. It is perfect. Sear your meat, portion it, and drizzle the sauce around the meat, not even on top, around the meat. So when they cut the meat, they kind of mop up a little bit of the sauce.
Yum. Oh. Sold.
Anything that says mop up the sauce, we're all good. Imagine this. So the filet comes out of the oven. It's gone from the pan, with that pan straight into the oven, your skillet, cast iron. And then you sprinkle that filet, according to you, Liddy, with a little coarse salt. And this was the thing that got to me. And then a drizzle of good olive oil. And then with that teaspoon, you just drizzle each slice with a little of that balsamic vinegar reduction you so beautifully described. So there you go. What a wonderful, easy thing. I mean, that sauce is in a saucepan on the top of the stove. You just are throwing in vinegar, carrots, celery, onion, bay leaves, and needles from your rosemary. And you just bring it to a boil and then simmer it. And it reduces by half in about a half an hour. You're done, essentially. You know, it took you just a few minutes to brown the outside of the filet. And there you go. Yeah. You're all set to go. Ah, Lydia,
my kind of food.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if this sauce is great if you have pork chops. If you're grilling, even on a grill in the summer, you have extra sauce, leave it on the side, bring it out. You're grilling some chicken or you're grilling a pork chops or whatever. This sauce goes great with all of those things.
It's so that kind of double.
Little drizzle on the side that delivers a real wallop of flavor.
Often we say to each other, what can I bring to the host as a gift? And you're thinking, what can I do, And so everybody dashes out. And sometimes you're expected to bring the bottle of wine or you want to bring something personal. When you were talking about your sauce, and I saw this in the book, I thought this would make the best gift to just, in a saucepan, make that sauce,
put it in a jar,
and bring it over with a little label on it and say to people, I have made you Lydia Bastianich's
balsamic
reduction. Should you a glaze? Should you ever decide you want to have a steak or chicken, whatever it is you're going to do? And what a present!
Hide the recipe onto the lid.
Yeah,
beautiful packaging.
You know, it would be fun. You say, okay, you grill the meat, I'll bring the sauce.
that's a better idea. I want to give a shout out to my favorite restaurant of yours, Lydia. It's Becco, and by far the best value in New York City. It's funny because whenever my family goes into New York and we always have to argue where to go. And then we just like, you know what, we're just going to go to Becco. It's the best food. It's the best value. It's the best restaurant.
Oh, that's great. Great to hear. It is. It's in the theater district, yeah, right on 46th Street. And it gets a lot of the theater crowd. So especially people that come from all over really kind of make it that their destination. And it's all about good, wholesome Italian food, generous and family style.
That's why my family's visiting from Europe, that's where we take them, because they love getting foods in big bowls and put it on the table and sharing.
Great. Well, if your listeners, lydiasitaly.com, they can find the address of the restaurant if they want to go.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about the corn and walnut cake, because those are two things that had my eyes just dancing. I just thought, oh, corn and walnuts. There you go. I'm all set.
Well, maybe we'll just have to do it another time.
I know. That's a deal. And I will see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A pleasure being with you. And a shout out to all the listeners.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao, Lydia. Lydia Bastianich, her new cookbook is called Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. It is great. And again, the recipe that we loved in here, just made and ate just before this show, before our conversation with Lydia Bastianich. We made the salmon with Prosecco sauce, which is done on the stovetop in a pan, and it takes about 10 minutes. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Oh, simple and heaven.
And delicious. Absolutely delicious. That is at our website right now at foodschmooze.org. Should we go through our kitchen tips? This time we have cruised Cooks Illustrated magazine, so we thank them for these tips.
And this is a great tip, and this is something we use in professional kitchens all the time, and it's those anti-fatigue mats. But professional ones can cost upwards to $60 to $100. And this reader writes in that you can use a yoga mat for the same purpose. And it's anti-slip. It's a little cushion, so it gives you a nice little support, right?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. That's a smart idea.
That is a smart
idea. And multi-purpose for that yoga mat.
So if you're standing over your kitchen stove for a long period of time mixing risotto or something.
Or chopping.
Or washing the dishes. I have a dishwasher sitting there. And so often I'm washing my dishes. There must be something therapeutic about this for me.
I kind of like that. So you're in the yoga zen place.
There you are.
Because you're on the mat and you're doing the dishes.
Okay.
I'm going to roll mine out in the kitchen
yoga,
when I get
the
home.
The new kitchen yoga. Okay. Here is also, they have a tip about storing extra eggs. Sometimes we want more than a dozen. It might be for a recipe or you've got a crowd to feed. You know, sure, you can stack one carton on top of the next, but if you have some left over. Well, Ken Burnham writes in from Florida to say that he will get a new carton of eggs before he's finished the old one. So to save space in the fridge, and if it doesn't fit on top, he places the new carton upside down on a shelf and then sets the older eggs in the inverted cups.
That's the same shape as the.
So he knows which one without opening them is the older one and checking dates and all that. He sees them right out there. So,
that's genius.
Isn't that good? Yeah. I love that one. Okay, coming up, we have How to Make Your Own Brown Butter Bourbon. Whoa, did I taste this? Somebody made it and I went crazy. What a cocktail this was. We're also going to talk about paleo. I'm eating this way and loving every bit of it. And it's meat and vegetables, fresh, fresh ingredients. So fantastic. And so we're going to hear about a noodle-less lasagna. This is a paleo lasagna that is so fantastic. You can learn how to make it, or I buy it already made, because there's a meat house that is doing this in Brantford, Connecticut. It is a winner. It has almond meal in it. It's sensational. Okay, so stay with us for those great things. Please support your local food growers and food makers. Find the food, wine, recipes, cocktails that we feature online right now at foodschmooze.org. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us. Faith Middleton with the gang, and this is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, FaithWNPR, and to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I want to talk paleo for a second because I've become a paleo eater. I am loving it. I'm not doing it for any reason except that I am just having the best time. I love protein, meaning I love meat, I love fish, I love pork. I just am crazy about it. So okay. What is it, right?
Yeah. She can see the look on my face.
Paleo, you know, paleo is – the name is really kind of a shtick. They're saying, you know, it's like our ancestors ate real food. Really what they mean is real food. Stuff that's grown with a lot of preservatives and artificial nonsense and no white flour. So you tend to use things that we would see around us in nature, such as nuts, nut meal, all the vegetables, meat. I mean, it's the simplest way of eating. Well, I've been stopping by a place on my busier nights. I will go and get something takeout. And so because I've started eating paleo, I go to a place in Brantford on Route 1 called the Meat House. And there are several of these around our broadcast region. The one in Brantford, because there's a gym nearby, and people who are working out like to have a lot of protein and vegetables without a tremendous amount of fat, they have asked this store, hey, would you do some paleo dishes? And so we have on the line, because I have fallen in love at the Meat House, with their paleo lasagna. So this is a noodle-free lasagna, and it is absolutely delicious. So on the line, I have Gordon Chaloux, who is the manager and butcher. He's about everything in this place. He's on the line to tell us how he makes paleo lasagna. He sells, how much of this paleo are you making, Gordon?
I'm making four hotel sheep hens full.
Of the lasagna?
Yeah.
That's a lot of lasagna.
And I know you also do paleo chicken meatballs, no breadcrumbs in them, no dairy. So let's come back to your lasagna, because that is just, I can't stop eating this thing. Tell me, first of all, what's in it?
It's got 92% ground beef, and it's got ground pork. It has crushed tomatoes, pureed garlic, pureed onions, ground carrots. I also put ground asparagus or broccoli in it as a vegetable, and Italian seasonings, and almond meal. Lasagna noodles are eggplant and zucchini.
So you're layering, yeah. And what you've got going for the ground meat is really a bolognese type thing without the butter. But this is amazing to hear that you're adding even other vegetables pureed in this thing. And the ground almond meal might be, you know, of interest to people. They might be saying, well, what's that all about?
The almond meal I use in layers. I'll put a small layer of the ground beef the bolognese sauce or whatever you want to call it on the bottom, and then I'll put a layer of eggplant, and then I'll sprinkle some almond meal, and then I'll do a layer of the meat sauce. Probably each layer of the meat sauce is probably an inch thick, and that holds it together. The almond meal holds it together, binds it.
That's a great little trick.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And on the top, you have a layer of almond meal, which gives it a nice brown, little brown caramelization look to it on the top.
It's like the brown cheese would be.
Yeah, as if you had lasagna with a breadcrumb mixture on top.
You sprinkled the almond meal on top. I put a nice layer of almond meal on top, so brown, so it makes it look like cheese. But when you look at lasagna, you know, you see the brown layer on top. It's usually your melted cheese.
Is the meal thick?
I'll do half coarse, and then I'll do half of it and fine to a powder, and then I mix it together. So then it's a better binding agent.
That is absolute genius.
Yeah.
It gives you texture and that kind of absorption.
More to the point, it is so delicious. You can see this is a lasagna that's packed with vegetables and a protein, in this case beef, pork, and the almond meal. And so there is some theory. What do I know? I'm not a nutrition scientist or a metabolic specialist, but there's some theory that eating this way, at least this is what they say, trains the metabolism not to hold on to fat, whereas a lot of the things that are missing from this paleo eating style do train the body, the dairy, the flours, the sugars, train the body to hold on to fat so it's hard to get rid of. You're not burning fuel as much as you are with a diet like this, and you're having all your vegetables. In fact, I find that I'm having more vegetables than I normally do. Well, Gordon, very quickly, how do you do your chicken meatballs? What's in those? If you don't have breadcrumbs to hold it together.
Just almond meal holding it together.
So it's ground chicken.
Ground chicken with almond meal.
And you put a tomato, a marinara sauce on them.
Yeah, just a tomato marinara sauce on it. Add some seasoning to it, a little bit of sea salt. Don't use regular salt. You can use sea salt because it's legal.
Paleo.
Hey, where'd you find the paleo lasagna recipe?
I bought the paleo recipe book because I was going to do the paleo diet, and I found the recipe for the lasagna. But I took and did it my own way. I took and seen what they do and how they were doing it, so I just tweaked it into my own way.
Well, Gordon.
I added this and added that to it and deleted this.
Yeah, Gordon, and, you have really made something great. This is at the Meat House on Route 1 in Brantford, Connecticut, in that sort of coastal wine shopping plaza. Gordon Chaloux, thank you so much. Keep making that stuff. And I would say make a few extra trays after this.
I'm actually making some tonight or tomorrow, so it'll be ready for the weekend.
Okay, loved having you on the Food Schmooze, Gordon.
Thank you for having me.
See, this is what we love, people doing all these creative things.
It doesn't sound like you miss the noodles or the cheese. At all.
Not one bit. And okay, I love noodles. I love cheese. Not one bit.
How many times did you eat it this week?
I've had it three times.
Wow. So it must be good.
And one slice weighs a pound.
So you can get three.
And so I... No.
No. Excuse me.
No, I eat a half a pound for my dinner.
And it's filling.
Yeah, and I
you
just
don't need
warm
anything
it up.
Else.
Oh
yeah.
No,
this should be fast food.
Well, this yes.
Because how long did it take you once you get it home? Do you microwave it or just pop it in the oven?
No, microwave.
Microwave.
There's
how
no
long?
No need for the oven.
Two minutes and you're done.
Yeah, absolutely 2 minutes.
That's fast food the way fast food should
it's
be.
It's homemade. It's delicious.
Homemade
really,
and, delicious.
And so you might want to try cooking this yourself. You can go online
kids.
And look up paleo cooking. This would be really fun for kids. If you've got somebody who doesn't want vegetables and you're worried about nutrition and all that, it's a great thing to do. Okay, the chocolate maker we talked about at Thorncrest Farm in Goshen, Connecticut, was overwhelmed with people after the Food Schmooze interview. And I tell you something, that's what makes me want to get up in the morning, to know that somebody who's doing great, great work gets a response. And so we're so excited for them.
And they are doing great work.
Sold out, just wiped out.
Yeah,
all right, here's our next partner in creativity. I want to talk with Matthew Goodyear. He's bar and restaurant manager at Blue Canoe Oyster Bar and Grill. This is a comfortable little place with a nice big deck on the water in Greenport. That's on the North Fork of Long Island. We call it the East End. I'm sitting near the bar, and I hear the words brown butter bourbon. And I somehow managed not to leap across the tables toward the bar in the direction
say,
of the bar.
What was that?
Because I thought, I did not hear that. And so I turned around and I said, did I hear you say brown butter bourbon? And he said, yeah. And I said, did you buy it? And he said, no, I made it. I said, brown butter bourbon. I said to him, I've made my own bacon bourbon.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, but I've never thought to make brown butter bourbon. And then he gave me some. He made a little cocktail, a little tiny cocktail. It was liquid gold. It's just
brown
butter. Well, what else was in the cocktail?
Well, let's hear it. Yeah, let's get him on.
Lori's got her shaker ready.
Okay. Matthew, welcome to the Food Schmooze.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so great. So, Matthew, I'm going to ask you how you make brown butter bourbon. Now, Chris, as we've talked about, brown butter is, it's just, the only thing you can do is go too far and burn it.
Yep.
But, so, let's do a quick thing on how you make brown butter. So,
I like starting in a medium hot pan. Put your butter in.
Salted or unsalted?
Ah, that's a good question. I'd say depending on what you use. I always do unsalted because I like adding my own salt.
Okay. So
unsalted butter, put it in the pan, and then just on a medium-high heat, I just swirl it and swirl it and swirl it until you get the color and aroma, right? So you want a light brown color, light to medium brown color, and then a toasted nut aroma.
And then that's it. You just lift the pan off the heat. And so where do you go from there, Matthew? You want it to cool down, right?
I take about 3/4 pound of fresh butter. I brown that. I don't cool it down. I dump it right into a bottle of or about a 750-milliliter bottle of bourbon.
Wow.
Okay.
Sizzling.
And I put it in a wide-mouth glass container and mix the bourbon and the butter together. And then I put it in the refrigerator, and I leave it for about 24 hours, so it can infuse. And then, as the butter gets cold, it solidifies, and all the solids move up to the top. So it's really pretty easy to strain out.
Okay, then you strain the butter out. I would use that for something else. Can you imagine those pancakes?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bourbon butter.
Bourbon butter pancakes. Oh, yeah.
You can take that butter and then use it for baking. You can make cookies out of it. You know, you can do whatever you want out of that.
Chocolate chip bourbon brown butter
cookies. Oh, my God. How great is this?
That's a byproduct.
So now let's talk about the cocktail you serve. So you poured some of that brown butter. And what would you put in here to make a cocktail? I mean, I would just sip it just the way it is. But what would you do?
You know, the cocktail I gave you, I just made a toddy out of it. I used the brown buttered bourbon. I used about 1.5 ounces of that. And then I made a brown sugar syrup, so that was about 1/2 ounce of that, and then just some orange bitters, hot water, and then an orange peel on top.
Yum.
Oh, it was so delicious.
Faith
it
is
was
grinning ear so, to ear right
so
now
delicious.
In
and
memory.
Then you just sat and sipped it for a while?
I did. I had a cheeseburger, and then I just sat back and had a grand old time. I just watched people. There was behind the bar. Yeah, I was watching what you were doing and creating. I saw how many people like to come in, Matthew, because I think they respect your love of good ingredients and working with food products to create these cocktails. So I saw them experimenting. I saw you making up things. It was really just a pleasure to watch.
That's what it's all about. You know, it's getting people to say, hey, you know, drinking, it can be involving kitchen. You know, I started, you know, working in a kitchen, so I'm kind of taking that and moving into the bar scene. And, you know, it's just letting people try stuff, you know, and even if they don't like it, they can say, hey, I tried that. You know, but, you know, most of the time they say, hey, wow, that's interesting. That's awesome. I've never had that before. It's really about expanding people's palates and letting them try stuff. You know, that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you so much, Matthew. And I look forward to seeing you at the Blue Canoe Oyster Bar and Grill in Greenport on the east end of Long Island. Thanks so much for being on the Food Schmooze.
Thanks for having me again.
Okay, you're a talented guy. Plus, I love those espresso ribs you make. Those are good.
Oh, yeah, those get me in trouble.
I know. Thanks a lot. Thank you all so much. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. We're online anytime. Find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wines, and easy cocktails we feature, including Lydia Bastianich's Easy Salmon Prosecco, all made in a stovetop pan. You can find it all at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.